Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Verse 1 says, for every high priest is taken from among men, is ordained for men, and feigns to God that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people so also for himself, to offer for sins. Now no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As it said also in another place, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Now we in the days of his flesh, when he had offered prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him, that was able to deliver him from death, and was adding that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now call of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, had to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Now, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have neither one teacher again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk, and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. Let's pray. Our Father, we honor you. We ask for mercy. We worship you. We ask for utterance. Let me come so simply. Let me bring your delivery. Let me honor you alone. Let me help me. Give me heart, grace my heart, to even bless everyone tonight, today. Give me the utterance. I know you have heard. Help me to reach your children. Let your word drop as the rain, even as a rain upon the tender herb. Father, we thank you. Let it distill as the dew, even upon everyone. Father, I ask for great mercy. To discuss your high priest, who has gone into the Holy of Holies, who is even at the right hand side of your majesty. Jesus, help me. Your mercy, let it sustain me. Let it help me. Let me teach. Let me communicate you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Everybody say amen. I want us to see that verse 5. Hallelujah. I just want you to be here with an open heart. Hallelujah. Open your heart. Nothing is difficult to learn if you are interested. Open your heart. Amen. Verse 11 says, verse 10, chapter 5, called of God. Jesus is called of God and high priest. after the order of Melchizedek. He is called of God and high priest. Jesus has been called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Order of Melchizedek. Now, 11 says, of whom we have, I want to say many things to say. Of Jesus, we have many things to say. Many, many, many things. Is it of whom we have many things to say, seeing you are dull of hearing? Many things have been said concerning Jesus. Jesus has been preached since the day Jesus was taken up from heaven, from amidst the ones whom he first commissioned to communicate him. They've been speaking of him, things concerning him. They preach Jesus. Peter preached Jesus. John preached Jesus. Somewhere you see Philip preaching Jesus Christ to the Samaritans. At a level, Jesus can be spoken of at dimensions. Now, if you check the season Paul wrote this book of Hebrew, and check the back time, go back to the timing of the Acts of Apostles and see the time difference when he wrote Hebrew and the time Jesus was being preached in Acts by the same people who started Christianity. The first church was in Judea, called, are you getting it? Jerusalem of Judea. Jesus has been preached there, even up to Samaria. Then later on, uttermost parts of the earth. We all understood that the gospel did not get into the hardcore or the uttermost part of the earth until Paul rose up and began to teach the gospel. So the first apostle to the Gentiles was Paul, accompanied by Barnabas. So you can see that Jesus was being preached on stages. Jesus in the books of Acts, Jesus has been preached and preached and preached until it came to the book of Hebrew. These Christians were no longer young Christians anymore. They have heard Jesus and heard about Christ. And yet, when it came to the season he was writing the epistle, they have also grew dull of hearing. Please, we should never limit our hearing concerning Jesus Christ. There is still many, many, many things that ought to be said of him that needed to be spoken to us. Jesus needs to be preached and preached until he has been preached well to us. We must keep on preaching Jesus Christ. And we shouldn't be tired of him. Jesus is the learning of the saints. He must be taught and taught and preached and preached and preached. We will preach him to the uttermost. Everybody say amen. Everybody shout hallelujah. When he got to this season, Paul still wanted to teach the Hebrew church concerning Christ. And he discovered that they had grew dull of hearing. You discover that the season in the book of Timothy, season in the book of Titus, and Philemon were not too different. It's not as far apart as in the book of Acts. It was also the same time when people were developing itching ears, when people want to hear another kind of gospel. It never only affected the Hebrew church alone. That thing began to be developed when Paul began to write personal epistles. A time will come. He said, one people, a time will come, they will not want to endure sound doctrine. People will not want to endure sound doctrine. People will grow weary of hearing. But we should not. We will not be like the Hebrew Christians who grew weary of hearing. We keep on teaching and teaching and digging and receiving from Jesus what he wants us to hear. Everybody shout hallelujah. Everybody say amen. Don't stop hearing Jesus. Don't stop hearing Christ. Keep on hearing. He has many things to say. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own loss, shall they heap to themselves teachers with having itching ears. People develop itching ears. So they will heap up teachers who will teach them what they want. This church is a spirit that is doing this, because a time will come, many will depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrine of demons. Satan fights our hearing. This is awesome. I just want to encourage us tonight, today, that we'll keep on hearing. We shouldn't stop hearing. Everybody say amen. What this church should hear, of whom we have many things to say. Jesus wants to say many things to the church. Then when you get to Revelation, let him hear. He that has ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And what the Spirit is saying to the churches is what Jesus is saying to the church. He say, Holy Ghost will hear me and then he will speak to me. This is our song. Hard to be uttered. What is hard to be uttered, if we would divide the word rightly, is very simple. Chapter 2 of Hebrew. Let's see what is hard to be hotter. I'll be teaching something today. Please. Therefore, we need to give the more energy to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. This next verse. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that hear him? So you can see what ought to be said that was hard to be uttered is what must never be refused. It must never refuse. So it means when the words are coming, we shouldn't refuse this word that will be spoken unto us. Jesus was burdened to say things. Jesus was burdened to speak to the church. As a very small student of scripture, I began to see classification on how Jesus speak, the spoken word method of the New Testament. Jesus speaks at different posture. But the last spoken word of Jesus is when Jesus is seated on the throne. Jesus speaking from the position of the right hand side of God is a different ballgame. So when he's speaking from that dimension, he's speaking something that is very crucial to the church. Jesus sat and God ordained him to speak to us. He's speaking something that is very, very important. I love the word. So what Jesus is speaking at this point is so great salvation. And Paul was warning, we will not escape if we refuse what Jesus is saying at the right hand side of the majesty on high. That Jesus at the right hand side of the majesty on high is not an ordinary position. He is speaking with all authority, all power, speaking all that God wants him to speak at this position of the right hand side. That's why the whole book of Hebrews, the chapter 1 of that book, first of all gave us an introduction of what Jesus is doing right now when the book was written. The book is a book of wonderful season. It was a season of Jesus speaking to the church from his right hand side of the Father. So the whole book of Hebrews chapter 1 enumerated to us man who is set on the right hand. No wonder. Let's see chapter 8. Let's see. I just bring summary. Time is flying. Time is going. Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 1. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. It's not there. Some of these things. Okay, thank you. Hallelujah. Now, of the things which we have spoken, we've been saying something. This is the psalm. Of the things which we have spoken. Not so, sir. Here, it was writing, but yet it's a spoken word. When it was writing, it was speaking. He didn't say, of the things which we have written. Of the things which we have spoken. So that tells you, is conveying a spoken word by letter. Is reporting a spoken word by letter. The book of Hebrews is highly prophetic. You can as well introduce the book of Hebrews as Thus Saith the Lord. So this is Thus Saith the Lord to the churches, even though it was written to the church of Hebrew. So this is the things we have spoken. This is the psalm. We have such an high priest. We have an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens. We have him. Can you just picture him right now? Picture him. Imagine him. When you imagine him, he's fruitful. He's lawful. Imagine him. Someone is there. And believe it, that you have someone right now who is seated at the right hand side of the majesty on high. For him to be seen, we need to see him in this position. And the best way to see him is by the spoken word that is of this place. When we begin to speak these things concerning him, you will see him seated by words. So preachers who are anointed to paint him in his seated position are doing well to the minds and the hearts of saints. This is the psalm. So it's clear. The high priestly ministry of Jesus affords him the right hand side of the majesty on high. For Jesus to be seated at the right hand, he has to be an high priest. That's just it. He can't be an high priest. He can't be seated until he came into being an high priest. So this is a high priest that is not just standing. This is a priest with a throne. This is a high priest with a throne. But not an ordinary throne. This is the high priest with the highest throne that ever exists. This is a high priest on the throne of God. This is a high priest. Let's see another description of this person we are describing this morning. Chapter 1 of Hebrew. Let's see verse 8. When the father was commensurating the son, commending the son, consecrating the son, announcing him when he was raised from the dead. Look at what he said. But to the son, he saith, he has said things concerning you, but to the son, you, my son, he saith, thy throne, O God, thy throne, O God, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Telling us that this high priest is O God. This high priest is O God. I have never seen an high priest that is O God like this high priest. No wonder in chapter 4, he said we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. No wonder in chapter 7, he also said, this high priest has been made higher than the heavens. He's a priest, but he's a priest that is occupying a position so high in the realm of divinity. He's a divine man. He's deity. This high priest was consecrated by God to sit with him on the throne. So the priestly office of Jesus could afford to take the throne. It's qualified to sit with God on the right hand side, on the majesty on high. This high priest has seated, or he's seated with God at the right hand side. Now, he's not just seated for nothing's sake. He's not sitting for himself. He's seated because he has to do a job. He was seated. God prepared him to sit with him on the right hand side for to do a specific work. In his seated position at the right hand side of the majesty. So when they raised him up and the father positioned him and the father announced him in the season and the time of his coronation, they announce him that he's the God. So we have an high priest who is also God. God said to him, thy throne, O God. He has a throne. This is an high priest with a peculiar touch. He's got a throne. He's an high priest nobody should refuse. He's an high priest that nobody should gainsay. He's an high priest that no one should disobey. He's an high priest that his word is final in the universe. Because all powers in heaven, all powers on earth, all powers whatsoever has been given to him. Therefore, God given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things on earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is who? Is the Lord. I love the word. In let's see verse 1, let's see verse 4. Hallelujah. Again, this high priest has a name. Hallelujah. Being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than the angels. Hallelujah. This is an high priest. We have this. Imagine yourself having this great person. It's for you. It's real. That's why it needs to be preached to the church. It needs to be mentioned to the people of God. Somebody is there for you. Somebody loves you. Everybody shout hallelujah. Somebody is seated on the right hand side, on the majesty on high. This should comfort your heart this morning. This should comfort your heart this morning. This should bless your heart this morning. This should comfort your heart this morning. Everybody say amen. I want us to see this word, a more excellent name. A more excellent name. A more excellent name. This name is actually a priestly name. Because the throne he is seated on is a priestly throne. Is a priestly throne. Is an awesome priestly throne. Priestly throne. A more excellent name. Even than they. That suggests to me, he has a better priestly name. A more excellent name than these priestly angels. He has a better priestly name than the angels. Is better and is far, far better. That was why he was better than heavens. Made higher than the heavens. Is a better priestly name. Jesus has a better, what's that? Priestly name. I want us to say, he has what's that? A better priestly name. Can you shout it, every one of us? A better priestly name. I am ministering Jesus. I am not ministering myself. Everybody shout hallelujah. I'm not talking about myself. I am talking about Jesus. I am mentioning Jesus. I am not ministering Reverend K. Reverend K doesn't have this name. Hallelujah. But Jesus has obtained this name to work on me. This name is for to work me, to better me, to bless me. I won't refuse him. But if you refuse this man, you will not escape. I say you will not escape. I say you will not escape. Even though you are a child of God. You shouldn't stop hearing this man. Everybody shout hallelujah. Can you help me? Let's see 4. Let's see chapter 4. Is it chapter 3? Hallelujah. Chapter 3, verse 7. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear this priest, today, you may not hear this priest in your lifetime. Listen, Pastor Bello, I may not hear this priest speaking at this tone from the right hand side in my lifetime. It's possible. The priest may refuse to talk to me. He may not speak with me with the authority of the throne. So Paul is saying, if the word if is conditional, if you will hear his voice, sir, he may not speak to you when your condition of heart is evil. When your heart is not right, he won't speak to you. He would discard you. He may not talk
to you when your heart is not broken. When your heart is not contrite, he won't talk to you. But if he speaks to you, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. It's dangerous to refuse this priest when talking. Harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. That's what he's saying. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. He is merciful. He is faithful. And mercy drives him so that you can hear him. Because he's merciful, he will come to you and speak to you. But I discover it's not everyone that is hearing Jesus at this level. That's why it is if. He didn't say when. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. When Jesus met Paul at Damascus, Ananias was sent to go and pray for him so that he might receive his sight. The first thing he said when he looked on Saul, he said, the God of our fathers have chosen you, that thou shouldest know his will. At that point, nobody was knowing his will except Paul. On earth, one man was chosen to know his will. Nobody was knowing his will at that pedigree. And thou shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. That you should see the just one. For you to see Jesus was granted to you by mercy. And not only that Jesus can see you and may not talk to you. But because you have had him, God chose it. It's by ordination of heaven for you to hear Jesus speak to you. For him to speak to you, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, how caused it to happen? He ordained it that thou shouldest see the just one. And thou shouldest know his will. We don't come to things of God except they permit us. And when our permission is being granted, don't play with it. It's an opportunity that must never be wasted. You may not have that time anymore. No wonder he says, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't make your heart. Don't refuse him when he's bringing things. Why would Paul be talking on strong terms, on the stronger terms with the Hebrew church? They came to a place, they were closing their heart. They are becoming dull. I love the word dull. I said we shouldn't become dull. We should not become dull. We should be quick to hear. We should be quick to hear. Not just anything. Quick to hear Christ. Quick to hear him. Quick to receive from him. This time around, they were supposed to be quick to hear. Paul wanted to say something. He held it back. He said, you are dull of hearing. But I will just speak some few things. So, he did not really open Hebrew. He only introduced it. He didn't open Hebrew. He was discussing the high priest, but they could not receive the high priest. High priestly nature of the Son of God. Because in that position constituted perfection. Jesus, as an high priest, is the perfect representation of the Son of God. Jesus, the high priest, is the Son of God, made perfect. Let's see, Hebrews 5. Though he were a son. Verse 8, I think so. Though he were a son. You can be a son, yet you are not perfected. Though Jesus was a son, yet learn he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect. Please listen, watch here. Of the things Paul spake to Hebrews, so I'm taking the small ones. some he said, many things he never said them. So I'm wondering, how will those many things be? But the ones he has written, they can be a guide to the rest. Everybody shout hallelujah. And being made perfect, he became what, sir? The author. All of us, can we shout it, every one of you? The author. Say it again, every one of you. If you love this Jesus, I want you to open your mouth and talk. Say it again. The of who, sir? Unto who? Now, you have to obey the high priest for you to have eternal salvation. Now, the issue of once saved, always saved is defeated here. If you want once saved, always saved, this is the way. I believe in it that you can be saved eternally, but there is a method. You must hear the perfect Son's words for you to be eternally immune. Now, what Jesus is speaking from the throne, hallelujah. All of you shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? I want to just drive something home. I'm not reducing anything. Was higher than what Jesus spoke to Paul on the way to Damascus. Jesus is discussing, Paul is discussing the matter of the throne. And to discuss the matter of the throne, you have to talk about the entity who sits on the throne. A throne is the same with a personnel who manages it, who sits on it, who officiates it. So if you want to make the throne, and if you want to preach the throne, preach the person. In understanding, we'll understand that a fool can sit on a throne, but that throne does not belong to him. After a while, he'll be ejected because he does not know the operation and the management of that seat. Do you all agree with me? Somebody may not be qualified and can sit. Some people can be, they are not qualified, they can be a governor. He will make a mess of things. So the throne is not really active. The throne has not been induced. The throne has not been set in motion. To set the forces of a throne in motion, the person that is qualified, let him sit, let him operate it. So in other words, you will now agree with me, what makes a throne is a person. All of you say amen. Do you agree? What makes a throne is the person to whom the throne appertains. Do you agree with me? Can I continue? If you say no, I will explain to you again. Do you agree? I need your agreement before I can move on. I say, what makes a throne is who, sir? All of you shout. Say it again. Now remember, the Bible says God made principalities and powers and created thrones. If thrones were beings, how will God's throne remain just a seat? So throne is God. God himself is a throne. For so when you see Jesus at the right hand side, is the throne of God. Jesus is the throne of God. God is the throne of himself. So what God did to Jesus is to raise a throne out of a man. Do you see that, sir? I am untying to you the priestly blessing. What God did to Jesus was that he made him a throne. That was why when they were pronouncing his blessing, one word they used is thy throne, O God. And I will tell you, when God was referring to thy throne, O God, he was not referring to the seat that he's going to sit. Is referring to his person and his operation that constitute him. So what makes up Jesus is the mechanism of high powers, high wisdom, and the constitution of grace beyond humanity and beyond creation that Jesus epitomized. We can call that a throne. This man is a throne. And the functionality of Jesus is still an expression of his person, which is the throne of God. So when we say, and the Bible says, is the express image of God's person. The express image of God's person. So when this man is speaking to us, is speaking to us in the book of Hebrews, what Jesus is speaking to you, Please, don't turn deaf here. A whole lot of people say, Reverend K, you talk high. It's not high revelation that helps me. It's not. Listen, this revelation will help you. This one, you need it. This one will help you. Even if you don't understand now, don't throw it away. You will grow up to it. As Pastor Busiu said, just believe it. This is what I'm saying. Jesus is speaking you also so that you can see it. As he's speaking, and then you are hearing, and you are receiving, you will be turned into an entity that can sit with him as he has sat with his Father. Amen. But there is a wisdom here. You cannot sit until you are eternally saved. And to be eternally saved is not just to escape lake of fire. Hear me. For you to be eternally saved, mommy, God can't trust somebody whom is not sure to sit on his throne. It means you must be so secured as he is secured. You must be so fitted as he is fitted. You must be so immune as he is immune. You must come into what is called incorruptibility. We must come into a place where we no longer become will not become undefiled. So what Jesus is saying to us is, I can by my words keep speaking to you. And when you will hear me, if you will hear me, you will come into a place where you become undefiled. Can I say something? So it's beyond just my study. My study is good. Look at me. My studying God's word is good. But what is necessary is my hearing. If you will hear. If you study and read and you are not hearing, you won't see it. It is your hearing that will consecrate you to be able to see it. If you are not hearing, I can be reading and I'm not hearing. When we hear, will assess the potter that custod the materials for this consecration so that I can see it. And scripture is saying, you can neglect this. I can neglect this. Pastor, the last teaching I had, I wanted to say something. I held it back because I had a check. What I wanted to say is this. I saw the Lord bringing his last season upon the church as a whole. And God is going to begin to talk to the whole church with a different tone. I saw that season coming, and very, very soon the air over the body of Christ will change, because heaven is set to do this work. I see Jesus is going to be showing up in a very, 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 at a very high speed. High manner. Jesus is going to be more magnified. Christ is going to be more magnified to the saint. And I see he's willing to speak to us. He's willing to touch us. Jesus can no longer hold back himself to the body. He's coming to the body and he's coming with all his powers to bless us. Everybody shout hallelujah. Everybody say amen. Amen. So I have established something. I just want to say some things, then we'll go. I've got little time left. don't neglect. You see, this so great salvation is what is called eternal salvation. This is the whole book of Hebrew. So great salvation is what is called eternal salvation. Let me just show you a wisdom also. That without hearing him, and without him speaking, and you hearing, you won't get saved at this pedigree. And I will tell you, those who will be saved at this level are those who will really, really sit on the throne. Let's see then. Can we see the previous verse in chapter 1? The last verse. Oh, let's see the last two verses in chapter 1. But to which of the angels said he at any time, is he sitting on my throne or on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? He can't say that to angels because, look at me, angels are not as safe as Jesus. So salvation does not just mean, it does not connote only not going to hell. Salvation is a way by which you measure persons in heaven. How you save you are is how, what class you belong to. We measure people by how much salvation you have. What made Jesus was what made Jesus to sit on the throne. So God can't trust angels, not so, with his throne. He never said to them, sit with me. Why will God kept on mentioning angels? These are another witness, about two witnesses. In chapter 1, he said that. He said, to which of the angels said he attend and sit with me on my right hand? He said, have I said to any angels, thou art my son? The word thou art my son, listen to me, is not just only just an empty word. As you think a sonship that God gave birth is a word that is entrusted to a man that has passed through all the realms of begotten. That God can say, I own. This man has me on the inside of him. Then I can trust you with my throne. He said, there was no angel that I did that to. None of them. None of them did I give that opportunity to have such inheritance. But to Jesus, you are my son. But to Jesus, you are my son. He said to Jesus, sit with me. Sit with me. Sit with me. Sit with me. Sit with me on the right hand. Verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them? Hallelujah. Who shall be heirs? What you are supposed to inherit is what, sir? Now let's go back to Romans 8 from verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit said, bear a witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Heirs. Heirs. Heirs of God. Are you seeing? Heirs. heirs of God. That was pregnant. And joint, if you want to know the kind of heirship with God, is with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we that we may also be glorified together. So it's clear what we are supposed to inherit is glory. How many of you agree? Did you see that? What we are supposed to inherit is what, sir? Glory. And for you to be glorified, you have to be saved to the uttermost. And it can only take the high priest to save me to the uttermost. Heirs of God. Heirs of salvation. So when you say God, look at me. When you say God, you're also talking about salvation. Do you remember that song they sang to him? Salvation to our God. They are blessing him with salvation. Are they saying, God, receive salvation? What are they saying? God, you are salvation. You are giving back to God who God is. You are only ascribing him and describing him and what? Exalting him in his person. Using who he is to praise him. So one of the praise of God is that God is salvation. So if God is salvation, what does that mean? So the word salvation is someone who is so secure that can never be broken, that can never fail, that can never fall, that can never die, that can never sin, that can never be defiled, that can never be polluted, that can never be corrupted, that can never die, that can never be sick, that can never emaciate, that can never decrease, that can never shrink, that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who is eternal, who dwells in eternity, is eternal. So when they say eternal salvation, they are talking about his salvation. Telling you, Jesus is able to do that. Jesus is able to give that. No wonder the scripture says is able. I will say is able. All of you, I'm not hearing you. Say it again, sir. To save me. I said, this should join your heart. I said, he's what, sir? Able to save me, Jesus. I am waiting for that. I said, I am waiting for that. I am waiting for the time I will be saved to the uttermost. And when the time for your uttermost salvation is visiting you, don't refuse. Please, don't. Because there are many things that will come against us for to refuse. I want to tell you something. Death is beyond physical falling down. Physical body dying is also some form of death. It's the death of my outward man. My house is not me. My house can die, but that doesn't mean I am dead. But it's possible that Jesus could take you to the resurrection of the dead. And he would do that. He's able to fashion my body like unto his own glorious body. He can handle this body. Jesus can change this body. If you ask him, why are you not changing it now? There are laws in the spirit. and there are protocols we don't know about yet. If God will have changed body, what of the body of Paul? He will have given him the resurrected body with all their striving. They died without receiving that, waiting for the last trumpet. When the corruptible will rise up incorruptible, mortality will rise up in immortality. They are waiting. Then there are things in there that we don't know about. Have you ever asked yourself, body of Moses, it took Michael to contend, to receive the body of Moses from Satan's touch. He took it back to him, and Moses wore the body. Remember, there was a war why the children of Israel were crying for Moses' body. He said they didn't see it. Somebody took it and gave it back to Moses to wear. On the mountain of transfiguration, Moses came back with the body. How can Elijah be with his body and Jesus with them, and Moses is bodiless? That ministration will not augur well. They are the true holy trees which stand there before the God of the whole earth. No wonder Jesus was also crying, because Jesus is the major witness. He said, "Thou will not suffer, don't leave my soul in hell, nor suffer the body of thy Holy One to see corruption." That is one thing of a priestly claim. The word Holy One means it's a priestly office. A priest has the right to ask for the body. Because without your body, your priestly role will not find expression. So Satan wanted to cut off Moses' body, because someone needs to occupy the holy branch stand, or the holy tree branch, or the candlestick as a witness in the invisible. There are ministries that are taking place that we are not seeing. They are all going well. They are doing well. Such ministry visited that mountain of transfiguration, and they ministered to Jesus. In the Old Testament pattern, those ones attain their own type of resurrection. The only person that his body has been changed after the pattern of the New Testament is the head of the church. Do you know that Moses' body is not Jesus' kind? Enoch's body is not Jesus' type. It's not the body of the world to come. Is still within the body of the present. Is the body of the living soul. Even though Enoch disappeared, yet is still a good report. The promise is different. The promise is higher. Now, the promise is who Jesus is, and he translated into his physical body when he was wearing it. When God raised him from hell, he entered the tomb. As Jesus entered into the tomb, spirit, soul, he entered into his body. The body actually became glorified by the entrance of his spirit into his body. Why? Because the body without the spirit is dead. This body is dead without your spirit. So what keeps your body going on is your spirit. And if your spirit is absent, your body that will not live. So when you take up your body, it's your spirit and soul that takes up your body. Moses, Satan watched Moses. Satan was marking Moses. And was marking him, he knew what obtained. In the spirit, in it there is a vacant position for a witness. In Zechariah, Moses, the angel mentioned to Zechariah the prophet and said, "Are you seeing the two holy trees that emptied their oil into the lampstand? They are the two witnesses which standeth before the God of the earth." There is a God of the earth, meaning there is an earthly manifestation. There is an earthly order. And there are those who manage the head. But our order is higher than the head. I'm talking about the God of heaven and the earth. That's our ministry. Our ministry goes beyond the order of the head. Why? Because our high priest is not seated here. Our high priest is seated in heaven. And everything he does is from heaven. I say, may you hear from heaven. Yes. My prayer is that when we are leaving this meeting today, heaven will not cease to bring down its dew. Yes. Open to Hebrews chapter 10. Thank you. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 10, the last three verses. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Verse 37. For yet a little while he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Somebody needs to come. They are waiting for someone arrival. Somebody needs to come. They are waiting for the coming of somebody. That's Jesus. He will come. He will come. Now. But now, the just shall live by faith. Because he that cometh to God, you cometh by faith. But if any man draw back, I love this one. My soul shall not have pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them who believe to the saving of the soul. Saving of the soul. Chapter 9, the last verse. Saving of the soul. We will believe until the saving of the soul. Is it that word saving is not, it's continuous. When you believe to a place where the soul will begin to be saved. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, it's not everybody who is interested in looking for him. You need to look for him. Shall he appear? The second time without sin unto salvation. If you are not looking for him, you just want to be an ordinary Christian. Not so. We should be looking for him. My brothers, it's clear it's not everybody that loves his appearance. Kind of light can only be given to those who love the appearance of Jesus. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Now what awaits me is the crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give to them that love him. Henceforth, there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearance. Sir, it's not everybody that love his appearing, sorry. It's not everyone who wants Jesus to appear. It's not. It's not everyone that wants the love of appearing of Jesus. That was what yesterday's message, the one I met, the tail end, was a terrific warning to all of us Pastor was teaching us yesterday about not make our belly our God. That belly does not mean somebody who eats food. That belly is selfishness. Somebody who is consisting himself alone. You seek in your inside. Tinu mini maashe. Inu is belly in Yoruba language. So when somebody is doing things only on the inside of him, not minding the others, is a seeker of his own. He's a selfish being. Your belly. It's about the belly and the food. God will destroy. God say, another one is whose God, I don't want my God to be my belly. Some people can't seek God's agenda. It's their own thing. And God is raising you people, young ones, in this generation, and teaching you to be selfless. Because the nature of love is that he seeketh not his own. Another one that baffled me, that statement is heavy. Whose glory is their shame? They don't know they is shame. But they pride in it as glory. Because they don't know. They are not seeing it. Another one, Pastor, they say, the enemy of the cross. Anybody who hates cross life, you are an enemy of God. I have some few minutes left. Salvation is not just is beyond just salvaging you, is beyond delivering you, is also your promotion. To save you is to give you worth. Let's see First Peter, finally. First Peter chapter 1. This person is following me. They were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. This is powerful. This is powerful. Let's see the verse before. This is not what I wanted to read, but it's giving me evidences from Scripture. Let's see verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. You see it, sir. Our inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away. Anyone who comes into this inheritance, or who inherited, an inheritor is an heir. If you are an heir, you should be an heir of such things. You come into a state where you become incorruptible. Hello, when they say an inheritance, all that carnal thought thinks of is one gold they will give to your hand. Why? What is it to you to have something that will not be corruptible, and yet you are corruptible? So what God meant by an inheritance are things that will be in you and you will hold, that cannot be removed from your genes. They become your genetics. That's an inheritance. The greater inheritance my wonderful pastor here can give to his daughter. When I saw your daughter, I know it's your daughter. I was looking at the daughter's face. I saw your oblong face. I said, this is a great inheritance. You gave her your gene. You gave her body your gene. So you are the father of her flesh. You may not be the father. You are not the father of her spirit. God owns her. But God shares with you in partnership. He allows you to weave the basket. He puts in the child. So your daughter has two inheritances. Someone created her, wanting to finally give back to her so that she will sit with him on the throne. That is the destiny of the man. I say, okay, Dele, help me share. Raise this baby for me. So when we were born again, we are born again to an inheritance. Incorruptible. Undefiled. That fades not away. A time will come. If these things are assessed, honestly speaking, you will not fade. You will not pass away. You will be incorruptible. You will be undefiled. Let's see it. Let's see the next verse. Who are kept, hallelujah, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I want you to pick that. See that? Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So this church has enjoyed being kept by faith. So when Christ is keeping you, he's keeping you for salvation. After Acts, churches began to be kept through Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. The power to keep you for salvation was being ministering in those letters. Keeping you. Power of God. Power of God. That's the gospel of Christ. The power of God. Power of God. That will keep you through faith unto salvation. When Paul was ministering faith of Christ, preaching Christ, his ministry in his faith, he was bringing the keeping power that will preserve the soul of the church from corruption. I may be healed from corruption. That doesn't mean I can't go back to corruption. I can escape corruption and I may not be immune. Christ's power or the faith power will keep me from corruption. But he's saying there is another one, salvation. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Ready to be revealed in the last time. So the power of God will keep me. There is something beautiful about faith. Faith is the teacher that unteach me from the corruptible. That's the purpose of faith. It's to stop the life of corruption. No wonder the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But what? I love the word should not. But that doesn't mean he may not. It's possible to perish. Even when you are born again. Can I show you scripture? You want me to show you one verse? That you can be a born again child and you can perish. There are many in the scripture. But let me just give you one. My people perish. My people what, sir? That word perishing is not suffering. It's not lack of clothes. Perishing means you are getting bad. So the purpose of church is to stop people from going bad. So when you got born again, perishing stop and cease. But if not quickly addressed and to move you further unto salvation, you are supposed to be journeying to salvation, perishing can set in. That's why Satan is attacking churches so that the souls in there can begin to suffer corruption. There is only one message that can stop corruption. It's preach Christ. Other messages, wonderful as the milk of the word is, it will do something. The milk will prepare the ground and give me the training for me to receive the training of learning to vomit corruption. And at the end, I will come to salvation. Salvation means I can never go bad. I can never turn. I can never change. And that is why when Jesus became an high priest, he became unchangeable high priest. There are things that make him so. God gave him the seed of salvation. And the seed of salvation is called the word of oath, which consecrated the Son forever. Hebrew, let's see Hebrew chapter 7, the last verse. For the law maketh men high priest, which have infirmity. After Moses will make men, they still find infirmity with them. Something is still wrong with them. And that's why they were dying. But this one. But the word of hope. Are you seeing that, sir? Which was since the law. Maketh the Son. Maketh the Son. Hallelujah. What does he make the Son? Made him an high priest. But this priest is consecrated forevermore. Something made him so. It's the word of hope. And what this high priest is speaking is this word. So when they say, leaving the principles of the fundamentals of Christ, let us go. Going is to begin to hear the high priest speak to us. What will make us unchangeable? What will make us immortal? Hallelujah. What will make us not to be falling into corruption? We can hear him talk to us. He said, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Pastor Shehi said something which I will never forget. He said, strong meat of the word of God is not just how strong and how high the revelation is. They are strong instructions. Strong instructions of righteousness. Strong things which are difficult to be hotter, they will be difficult to obey. But Jesus is saying them. I said, Jesus is saying them. I said, Jesus is saying them. And why is he saying them? So that it will be impossible for you to turn if you will hear them. If you will hear them, and keep them, you become unchangeable. So, like James will finally say, every good gift, every perfect gift, cometh from above, the Father of light. Are you seeing lights there? Fathers of light. These are the things the high priest was using. Good light. Perfect light. That is Urim and Thummim. Father of lights. So, something in the Father that makes him not to be variable. And you can't find a shadow degree of turning. What makes God not to turn? Like Balaam will say, God is not a man that he should repent. Neither the son of man, not to turn. He won't turn. He won't change. As he said it, he will do it. God doesn't turn. There are things that are modeled in God that makes him constant. He remaineth the same because of lights. Because of lights. Father of lights. God is the Father of light. With whom? If he is the Father of light, inside him, there is no darkness at all. And what is the darkness? What varies? And what turns? Why are people changing? It's because they keep darkness. But God does not turn. God does not change. He remains the same. It is this light that God houses. Then the next verse says, this is awesome. Of his own free will begotten us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of his first creatures, first fruits of his creatures. Hallelujah. The next one, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Don't be dull of hearing when lights are coming. When instead of the Hebrew church to be fast, you have to be swift as the light. You have to be fast as the light. Be swift to hear. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. This is the last garment for the most holy place. It's called the linen garment. When God is sewing the garment for to enter in the rest of all, he will begin to bring light for it. Light after light. Good light. Then perfect light. Let's go further. Everybody shout hallelujah. Wherefore, lay apart. Wherefore, hallelujah. I say, lay apart. I will lay apart. All filthiness. Is there any filthiness that you are taught with? Is high time to say, I am laying them apart. I say, lay apart. Say, lay. Say it again, sir.
Lay.
Wherefore, let us lay aside all sins and wait. Which easily beset us. Let us run with race, with patience, the race that is set before us. The race set before you is the race of salvation. To sit on the throne, which Jesus epitomized. Superfluity of nothingness. Receive again with meekness. The engrafted word. Hallelujah. Oh, ma. Oh, mama, which is able to save. This is James. Which is able to save your souls. There was one word called the word of grace, which is able to build you up. But this one is able to save. I said, one will build you up. That is making you Christ. Now, you know why? You can't engraft a branch, hallelujah, oh my God, upon a shrub. It must be a tree to receive engraftment. So this is the word that belongs to those who are full of age. When you are full of age, you'll be able to discern both good and evil. When you begin to come to judgment, you will know what is good. You know what is evil. What is good is salvation. Able to save. Able to save. Hallelujah. Pastor, when you are dealing with this salvation, that's the time Jesus is bringing you into the most holy place. Salvation. 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 Hallelujah. Psalm 132 said, you will let your priest be clothed. Priest. Hallelujah. Let your priest be clothed with salvation. Let your priest be clothed with salvation. Let your priest wear the garments of salvation. Let your priest wear the saving garment. Let your priest be clothed with salvation. Let your priest be adorned with glory. Let your priest wear the garment of salvation. and the saints will shout aloud for joy. Let your priest be clothed with redemption. Let your priest be clothed with redemption. Let your priest enter into the most holy place. Let the saints shout aloud for joy. Let your priest be clothed with garment of salvation. Let your priest be clothed with redemption. Let your priest come into glory of God. And the saints shall shout aloud for joy. Let them wear the garments. Let them wear the garments of joy. Let them put on the adornment of glory. And the saints will shout for joy. We await the manifestation of the priest in righteousness. Let your priest, let your priest, let your priest, let your priest, let your priest be clothed with salvation. As you speak, speak and speak. And as you say what you have to say, right from the authority zone, from the throne of your Father, let the priest be clothed with salvation. Your words are the garment. Materials. Thank you. Jesus, you are awesome. You are awesome. You walk in this place. You are awesome. You are awesome. Speak in your words. You are awesome. You are awesome. Our high priest of good things to come, I tell. You are awesome. You are awesome. Speaking to her. We are blessed generation hearing you from the throne. We are a blessed generation of the seed of Abraham hearing gracious words from your throne. You are awesome. You are awesome. You are awesome. You are awesome. You are.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299. Or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.